Well, I believe it was radical self-expression. I just called a friend one day and said, let's burn a man on the beach. Let's burn a man on the beach. Let's burn a man on the beach. Let's burn a man on the beach.
This is Steve Robbins.
And this is Evan Schulman.
And this is Burning Man
according to us.
We're not even in sync, but we shouldn't be because instead of being on the same playa, we're on two completely separate coasts.
The classic intro for our podcast where we are never in the same location and never in the same time and space.
I know. And let's be fair, if we were in the same location at the same time and space, we'd be at Burning Man and we wouldn't be recording a podcast. We would be frolicking.
Frolicking across the dusty canvas that actually some people are going to be doing shortly. For those of you that don't know, we're basically recording this at the beginning of the virtual build week for Burning Man this year because it was officially canceled. But there are some people who are showing up to what I've heard called as the Renegade Burn and still need to go to that specific GPS coordinate to experience the burn. And it's because it's been a while and some people went last year as well.
Yeah, I've heard rumors that thousands and thousands of people are going to go, which, you know, I mean, on one hand, it's like, you know, yay, the burn is happening somewhere. On the other hand, the event was canceled for good reason, which is there's a highly contagious virus that does kill some number of people and can be spread even through vaccinated people. And, you know, Burning Man is held in communities and it's held in places where there are a lot of people just trying to live their lives who don't have any connection to the event. And I think part of the feeling was not wanting to expose those communities to 80,000 people worth of potential virus carriers.
Yes. So, Burning Man as a super spreader event would not be a good look.
Precisely. So even though the event, there are people going out there for the event, the official sanctioned policy is please do not go out there. The Bureau of Land Management has said no porta potties will be allowed. And, you know, and everything, of course, must be leave no trace. And the Burning Man organization has gone to some lengths on their website to say, you know, if you are going to go, here are some tips about how to do it in a way that's respectful of your fellow attendees and respectful of the playa. And so on and so forth, because it's public land. No, you know, you're allowed to just go out to that land. But you know, I certainly decided for myself that I cared enough about not spreading the virus. And you know, let's face it, no porta potties, really.
You didn't want to just show up with your bucket and say, "F it." I don't know if we're allowed. I forget if we allowed cussing on this podcast, so you can imagine what rhymes with that. But. Yeah, I would say, you know, I think it's interesting that, you know, the organization kind of takes a harm reduction. When I say organization, the Burning Man organization, the official 501c3, takes a, you know, harm reductionist lens on this, which is consistent with the kind of culture and community, which is, hey, we know people are going to be doing this, so please just do it in the least jackassery way possible. And again, ideally, you know, don't do this because that's why we're not having the event.
Exactly. So there's a couple of questions. I think it's really easy to imagine that the people who are going out there are going to have some version of the Burning Man event, right? When the whole thing started, when they first went out to Black Rock City, there was no map of the city. There was no organized group of people setting up the map or setting up the basic streets. There was not placement that would make sure that everything was placed and mixed appropriately. There was no urban planning. There were no rangers. There was none of any of that. It was just a bunch of people went out to the playa and did whatever they did. So in some sense, this is almost a return to the beginning. So it seems to me like, okay, one could argue that going out to the playa with no facilities whatsoever, just to kind of hang out, is in fact the most Burning Man thing.
It's pure burn, man, pure burn.
Totally, totally. I remember hearing a story from somebody who was at many of the early burns, where one year... This was way before things were as organized as they are now. And one year, one guy kept driving his Jeep around close to where other people were sleeping and honking late at night and waking everyone up. And he was like, ha ha, you know, I'm being myself. I'm expressing myself the way that I want to. And that night, after he went to sleep, everyone else got up and they went to his Jeep and they disassembled it and they spread the parts over a couple of acres. And they were like, hey, look at us. We're also radically self-expressive.
Pure individualism meets you not existing in a vacuum, and there's other people that have preferences and ways of going through the world.
Exactly. You know, it's funny because it, in some ways, it's kind of pure libertarianism, right? This whole idea that the community, that everyone should show up and be allowed to do what they want to do, and they just have to deal with whatever the community does. And, you know, if they don't like the community reaction, then they can do something else or go somewhere else. And of course, what that actually ends up meaning in practice, it doesn't mean you get to do everything you want. It means that on day one, you drive your Jeep past a bunch of sleeping people, and on day two, you don't have a Jeep. So it's not this delightful, I get to be a perpetual five-year-old concept that a lot of people seem to think it is.
Although I am a fan of connecting with my inner five-year-old inner child, not in a jackassery bully on the playground way, but in a this is the world's coolest playground type of way.
Absolutely. So there is, as it turns out, for the rest of us, those of us who are not going out to the playa and those people who might be listening, although I don't know how rapidly this episode will get up, so maybe by the time you listen, it'll be over. But there is an entire, not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but six virtual burns happening this year.
And I think this was a smart move because, again, I think in our couple last episodes, we've talked about, you know, should they have it? Should they not have it? And then if it's canceled, this isn't the first time they've done the six virtual worlds, because last year when it was first canceled, these worlds kind of popped up from the community. Some were already existing platforms. Others were built from the ground up. And so, you know, it came with some, you know, kinks in the wires. And it still led to a, you know, fun experience. We had an episode where we talked about us kind of trying out the different worlds. But I would imagine, I haven't been in this year yet, but obviously I'm going to, you know, tap in at some point. But I would imagine that with an extra year of all the learnings and the lessons, it'll be even better, because there'll be a lot of the technical problems solved, as well as a lot of the how do we do this community culture online problems. Maybe not fully solved, but at least a little bit better. So highly encourage anyone who hasn't been before, or skipped out last year, or was thinking of, you know, not really doing it, to get involved and jump in, because they're all free. They are asking for, you know, donations as part of your ticket, but a lot of them have no minimum. So, you know, accessibility should be not a problem if you want to just, you know, try and check it out, and just highly encourage you to do that.
Yeah, I think the only one, if I remember, that has any type of required payment, I think was Sparkleverse, which was a $10 donation. And, you know, I was thrilled to give it. Frankly, I'm like, look, you know, if I were going to Burning Man itself, I'd be between plane fare and hotels to get out there and renting a car and all that stuff. I would be spending $2,500 to $3,000. So $10, happy to support them, especially if it's going to help keep the culture alive.
Exactly.
So actually speaking of keeping the culture alive.
Mm-hmm. This is what we want to get into, yes.
Exactly. What do you think about that? I mean, over the last year, more than a year, right? The last 2 years, ever since it became apparent there wasn't going to be a 2020 burn and now not a 2021 burn, people have said, oh, well, we can keep the culture alive by doing Burning Man things offline and so on. And there's been a bunch of discussion, which really boils down to how essential is the big event in the desert to the Burning Man culture? Because as we described in our first several episodes, when we went through the 10 principles, / 11 principles, if you include consent, that it really is the culture, not so much the party atmosphere, that you and I, at least, are both pretty deeply attracted to. So what do you think, Evan? Is it possible to do Burning Man not in real life? Is it possible to do a virtual Burning Man and have it be meaningful?
I certainly think it's possible. I certainly think it can be meaningful. I know where you're heading with this, because I know we talked about this before we hit the record button, and I'm open to those thoughts as well that you're going to talk about. But yeah, like you said in the very beginning of this whole podcast, not this particular episode, but in, you know, us kind of forming this podcast, we talked about how there's so many people that think Burning Man is the big party in the desert, and that's what they treat it as. And as a result, at least to us, it can seem very superficial, or it kind of lends the wrong story or narrative about the experience, and it doesn't really connect with the kind of deeper principles or the deeper experiences that people have when they're there. And that's why we do talk about why the culture and the principles are so important, and how that kind of carries on both on Playa and also off Playa. And so I think that, you know, those principles aren't tied to a specific place, and those principles can be expressed no matter where you are, whether that's online or even in your hometown. And there's all these local regional groups, and there's Burners Without Borders. So there's lots of expressions of the principles, or lots of expressions of the culture, that happen outside of a specific GPS coordinate in the desert, even though, to your point, there is a history there. And as a result of that history, there is almost this annual pilgrimage that people are still making, because they want to kind of get in touch with that magic or that ritual or that pilgrimage of going to this place during this time of year to do certain things, whatever those things may be. So I do think that certainly a time and place is a very powerful beacon, if you will, or kind of rhythm to reinvigorating the culture and the community. And I see and recognize its importance, but I don't want to let it go too quickly that, and therefore this online stuff, it's not the same. It's true, it's not the same, but there's still ways to connect and express the culture and keep it alive by expressing the culture in ways that aren't tied to the land.
Sure.
Now go for it, Stever. Slash that to bits.
Well, I don't know if I can slash it to bits exactly. But as I think my position really is that the event itself is important. That if you take the culture and fragment it into small groups of people operating in the middle of a city, like a group of artists saying, hey, let's go create a bunch of free art and offer it as a gift to the community, you can still do that, but you could have done that without Burning Man. Like to me, part of what makes the event so special is not just your ability to live those values, but what happens when you and 80,000 other people are all living those values in community with one another. And I kind of think of it as Burning Man, the Black Rock City, Burning Man the event, Burning Man the place, is the place that gives you the purest form of that. So you really kind of deeply grok what life could be like if everyone were living that way. And then you can take that back to your communities and recreate what of that is possible for you to recreate. But I think, to me, the only part when I think about bringing it back to my community, and for instance, last week I was at a maker fair here, which is something I would never have gone to prior to my involvement with Burning Man. When doing it, it becomes more just about me and my expression. So if I get together with some people who are doing art in my area, it's more about us as artists wanting to express ourselves. It's not about the relationship that multiple different groups of people all expressing themselves to each other creates. Does that make any sense? Am I being at all comprehensible with this?
Yeah. So let me try and paraphrase back. It sounds like, yeah, if you go to a maker fair, you kind of tick off the boxes of self-expression and the duocracy and the, like, we're going to make cool stuff together. But there's a different lens or a different framing or intention to that coming together compared to a Black Rock City or Burning Man event, which is that, but all these other kind of nutrients or nutritional value of relationship and everyone kind of doing it at the same time. And not only everyone is like 80,000 people versus like a maker fair of, 2,000 people.
Well, this was more like 50 people, but yes.
Okay, yeah, depending on the size, right? But I think I agree with you, and I understand what you're saying. Because yes, like, you can't compare a maker fair to a Burning Man, nor like people showing up to like a hobby store to buy the piece. Like, there's certain essences of that like maker vibe in each of those experiences, but obviously they're modulated by the place that it's happening at, who it's happening with, like the motivations for people to show up there. So I see what you're saying. There's like, there's an essence of it, but it's not the same as the, I think what you said too, which I really like, Grok, which I believe is from Stranger from a Strange Land.
It is indeed.
Great, great sci-fi book, although a little dated with some issues there. But yeah, to fully Grok or fully like 1,020% understand or comprehend and experience. That's my definition of Grok. Yeah, you kind of need to be on the playa. 1,000% agree with you. And I would say that's also where, for me, in my skepticism of virtual reality, like VR cannot replace in real life. Like it gets you close, maybe close, like just in terms of like, oh, I'm immersed and there's stuff around me. But even at least last year, you know, I didn't have a VR headset, but I found the Build-A-Burn experience way more compelling of an experience to interact with people, and kind of give me the kind of Burning Man experience. And that wasn't 3D. It's like, you know, perspective based. You're walking around on a map and you have like a little character that you walk around with. And so VR doesn't even come close to replicating. I'd much rather be in person on the place versus like switching to, Burning Man's just all in VR now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and make no mistake, I really enjoyed Build-A-Burn last year a lot. And in fact, I made some friends. At one point I popped in and my avatar just happened to spawn in a group of people who were very much like compatible in terms of their interests and things. And I'm still in touch with them. I mean, so that element of Burning Man, kind of the openness to new people, the reaching out to the people around you, there's still a lot of that that happens in the virtual world for sure. The one of the pieces that for me is so dramatic. And remember, I was a Burning Man skeptic for 13 years before I finally went. I had people trying for 13 years to get me to go. And I was just like, no, I've been to like far out events before, whatever. And when I finally went, the experience was so profound that now my biggest regret in life is not having gone for those 13 years. Because as the event has evolved and changed, I've missed the opportunity to experience it the way that it was 13 years ago, which was different from the way that it is now. What the word that comes to my mind that the real life event has that the virtual reality does not have is surrender.
Mm.
And if I have to tie it to the 10 principles, I'm going to tie it to immediacy. And immediacy basically says, this is your burn, whatever happens to be happening. You fell off of a large thing and broke your leg. Guess what? That's your burn. And you are, you know, 100 miles from the nearest hospital. Well, welcome to Burning Man. And I'm being a little bit flippant as I say that, but not really, because one of the things about Burning Man that is just not true of a lot of life, a lot of the rest of life, is it presents you with unique, novel, and sometimes challenging experiences, and you just deal with them. Like, you just have to find a mental way of making them part of your experience in a way that you're enjoying it, because you don't really have the option to just take your headset off and magically be in your air-conditioned living room sipping fruit-flavored beverages, which you do with virtual reality.
Right.
You know, at Burning Man, if you don't stake your tent down and a dust storm comes up and your tent starts to blow away, like, you have to deal with that. And again, you know, I'm not sure I want to live like that 100% of the time, right? That's why we invented civilization and technology. So we wouldn't have to deal with that all the time. But I think there's something very valuable about really having to be present to your environment and take responsibility for that presence that you just can't replicate in virtual reality by its very nature.
Right. No, yeah, I definitely agree with that. And especially because VR is, you know, you turn it on, you turn it off, you put the headset on, you take the headset off, and you're back in your room, compared to really what leads up to, you know, if we don't look at Black Rock City as a single point in time and space, but we look at it as, you know, okay, this is happening over 7 days, yes, or, you know, 7-10 days, yes, but also there's actually people showing up beforehand to build it for like half of the year, but also everyone that travels there is putting in time, energy, money, thinking, coordination to prep for it, right? Even if it's, you know, 5-minute prep, you know, before you jump in the car that's driving you out there, to the people that take, you know, painstaking amounts of time to plan it. And all of that is part of the experience, which creates a different perspective when you're there.
both perspective and commitment. I mean, one of the things that both of us said when we were prepping for this episode is we said, wow, can you believe it? It's already build week. And, you know, the virtual burn happens next week. Well, I'm in Boston. So when I go to Burning Man, I have to get all of my stuff ready and packed up in July, loaded onto a train, and it gets shipped out to the playa. And then when I get there in late August, you know, we rent a car, we fly out, we rent a car, we drive the car out to the playa. Then we have to find the shipping container, which is somewhere on the playa, and get into the shipping container and take our 25 bins worth of stuff, drag it a couple miles across the playa, and set up our camp. And normally, in a year where we were doing in real life Burning Man, I mean, we would have been deeply immersed in preparations now for the last 6 weeks, and I would have been counting the hours until it started, versus being like, oh, yeah, look, I guess today we're recording this on August 22nd, which is the first day of virtual build week. And I'm kind of like, and I didn't know that until I went to the website as we were preparing for this. And I was like, oh, look, I guess it started today, which is just a real, I think it highlights the difference between, real life and the virtual in that there really is a level of immersion and preoccupation that comes with a real life event and thinking and anticipation that, at least for me, isn't there to nearly the same degree as the virtual version.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, lends credence to your point around like that is part of the culture, all that prepping that you do, that is part of the Burning Man culture, like for people that come from far away like Boston compared to Black Rock City and need to put in all that prep work, right? Like if you didn't do that, that wouldn't be part of the experience and part of what makes Black Rock City Black Rock City. Having said that, at the same time, and I'm losing my train of thought, but where I was going with it was
immersion,
virtual world, immersion,
commitment, preoccupation with it, lots of preparation.
It'll come back to me. But yes, basically I'm agreeing that, you know, that is part of the culture. I think what I was going to say is, you know, would you have spent the same amount of time that you do to prep everything to go from Boston all the way to Black Rock City to plan a local event in Boston that tries to recreate, a Burning Man experience, whether through art or community or...
Well, since you are talking to somebody who is, in fact, one of the organizers of Firefly, our regional burn, would I go to the effort of trying to create my own burn type event? As it just so happens, yes. However, we also canceled Firefly this year because Firefly normally happens over the July 4th weekend. And, I mean, people weren't even, you know, our vaccination levels weren't even worth mentioning at that point. So it was definitely not in the cards to have a Firefly this year.
But even outside of like a local regional event, well, I guess this is what the pandemic's doing. It's forcing everyone to say, you can't meet in person, so take your energy and put something else on. And that's what I guess the virtual worlds are providing. It's a bunch of people who have been putting in time and work to create a platform for people to connect, but it just changes like the people that do show up in how much time and energy they put into it. Like Build Week this week is probably people like, you know, setting up their camps and uploading files and, you know, starting to finish their schedules for what time, you know, a DJ is going to be streaming at their camp or whatever. And that is work that helps create the online experience that people are going to share. But it is, it's a different type of work.
It's a different type of work. And there's a couple of things too that are problematic, right? Which is that number one, it vastly favors techies and anyone who isn't comfortable using the virtual world building tools. Just, you know, they're not going to do it. And I'll raise myself up as an example of that. The Burning Man art projects that I've done, you know, like my introducer quest cards or my hand massages, those are things that I know how to do. I can do them and I can create them. They don't have a direct analog in the virtual world. Going around giving people virtual hand massages is not going to have the same effect as doing it for real. And if I want to try to come up with a project that works in the virtual world, I mean, again, number one, my ideas just don't meet that criteria. But number two, if I did have an idea, well, now I've actually got to be a good enough graphic artist to be able to create the rendering of it. And weirdly, I can build I could build a little structure out of plywood and nails and whatever, but that doesn't mean that I can create an image of one and upload it to a virtual world. Those are completely different skills. And I don't know how to use CAD software. I don't know how to create texture maps. I know I've heard these words. So there is a real selection in terms of skill set for who can participate in this virtual burn that doesn't exist, I don't think, nearly as much with the real life burn. Because if I weren't busy trying to get my business up and running, I probably would have spent a bunch of time trying to create something to bring to this, because I want to participate. I miss creating art.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point too, because I think the principle of radical self-expression through art and just the artists that do come out there. And, you know, when I've watched some documentaries about them, you know, some of them are in a sense professional artists, but some of them are also like, yo, I never did this before, but I was just so inspired. I wanted to do something. So I found a team of people who could do it. And it sounds like that type of cultural infrastructure in a sense of like being able to find the people to help make a tangible, very real wooden or electronic art piece or fire piece come together is a little bit more there compared to, like, you know, if you did want to find someone who did know CAD software and did want to help bring your vision to life, like, it probably, you know, could have been done, but that infrastructure within the community isn't quite there yet. And maybe that's what, you know, these virtual burns can help with, is starting to make those connections. Like, maybe if you drop in and you start telling people, hey, I really wanted to do this, maybe you will find someone who knows someone who can do CAD, and then you could actually add it, like, on the last day or for the virtual burn, let's say.
Right. Well, again, most people don't even know the word CAD, so I'm already starting with an unfair advantage.
Well, would you like to share, in case any of our listeners happen to be CAD experts and can write to us and say, Stever, I've never been, or I was gonna go, and I have the skill, and I would like to help you realize this vision of yours, because that's the Burning Man culture writ large.
Yes, it is. All right. CAD, computer-aided design. And CAD tools enable you to build a 3D model of something and then render, I mean, I have no idea what it renders, but it renders some type of data structure, which presumably can be uploaded into some of these virtual worlds so that you can interact with and wander around and play with this object that you created in your CAD tool. That's my understanding, and it could be totally wrong.
That sounds right to me. I think computer-aided design, and they have, like, you know, a bunch of different open source software platforms for it and more professional ones. But if any of you out there know how to do that, please get in touch. And even if we can't get it in time for this year's virtual burn, I think they're going to leave these worlds open afterwards in a sense. And maybe we can get it in there one way or another and complete Stever's dream. And then that can serve as the blueprint for the real world creation of it when Burning Man comes back in person.
Hopefully next year. I'll tell you the thing I wanted to do, right? Speaking to your first point about how people go get inspired and then have an idea. So a couple of years ago, I was so inspired that my idea was that I am a huge fan of the game Myst, M-Y-S-T,
mm-hmm.
which was a computer graphics game. And it was one of the very first immersive, beautiful games back in the mid-1990s. Also, I believe it was the best-selling computer game of the 20th century, interestingly enough. And
better than my SimCity 2000?
Well, SimCity 2000, by definition, I hate to burst your bubble, is not technically in the 21st century. It actually is, if you know your numbers, 2000 is the last year of the 20th century, not the first year of the 21st century.
Fine, but then we can still both be number one in our respective centuries.
Yes. In any event, to get back to my topic, now Please. That we have been hijacked by The Sims, what I wanted to do was, every time you finish with one of the levels in Myst, you return to this library. And the library has these books, and books have clues in them as to how you solve the puzzles in the various places in the library, or in the various places in the world. I wanted to recreate the library on the playa. I wanted to build the library and have it be full of clues, but the clues would send you on scavenger hunts around Burning Man. And the puzzles would be located in different camps. So just like in Myst, you'd visit different worlds to solve each puzzle. You would have to visit different camps to solve each puzzle. And if you solve all the puzzles, I'm not sure what, we would have some type of really significant prize for you, or, you know, really significant piece of art that you could take home or something like that. And I really fell in love with this idea, and lots of other people fell in love with the idea. And when we started investigating what it would take to build to build a building, do the electronics, pull the whole thing together, I kind of concluded that, you know, I was not able to get a group of people that could have pulled it off. I need a lot of expertise, and whereas I have the vision, I do not have the component pieces to do it. And in talking to people, who had done long time burner stuff and who had done large projects, almost all of them said before they had ever done a large project, they did a small project, and they helped with someone else's project, so they could at least learn what all of the pieces were.
Yeah. So. Well, I will at least bookmark it and say, perhaps Stever, this could be our mission for this year's burn. I'm going to plug Build a Burn, just like we did a couple episodes ago when we were talking about last year's experience, because it's super easy to create a world in Build a Burn and connect with other people. So maybe, I'm not going to promise anything because we'll have to talk about it, but maybe as a teaser for an upcoming episode, we will try and see if we can create another jargon word, MVP, minimum viable production, we'll go with, of the Myst library experience. And maybe we can try and play with Build a Burn and see if we can, you know, put some links in there or something that link to other camps and other worlds. I think that could be a fun adventure to, you know, maybe document behind the scenes.
Ooh, it could in fact be.
Just as a teaser. You know, no promises. No promises.
Well,
and then I will also say, you can expect to see me and Stever in the virtual worlds. So please do try and sign up if you haven't yet. We'll put the links in our episode. So you can do that. And even email us if you want to try and meet up in the virtual world.
Absolutely.
And I also want to do a special shout out to Census Camp, which I believe episode 5, we talked about radical inclusion and we spoke with Random from Census Camp. And they are building their camp in Build-A-Burn this year. They have a lounge, kind of a Census Camp lounge that you can go to. Highly want to plug them. Shout out to Census Camp. I camped with them in 2019. And they're going to have a survey this year because they're not stopping their culture of getting the data on what types of people show up to Burning Man, whether it's online or offline. So stop by Census Camp, fill out the survey that they're going to have there. You can learn about the history of Burning Man demographics, who shows up, what their experiences are like. You can also leave what your experience is like. And also on episode 5, where we talk to Random, they're going to be broadcasting that episode of Burning Man According to Us in their Census Camp lounge. So you'll get the meta experience of being in a virtual world, listening to a virtual podcast,
talking about the real life version of the virtual camp that you're in.
So yeah, huge shout out to Census Camp for plugging us there, and do stop by there because if you're new, or even if you've been to Burning Man a bunch of times and haven't stopped by Census Camp, check them out. There's some really interesting stats and facts about the Burning Man culture and community.
Yeah, well, I was thinking you sold me on Census Camp. I want to camp with you guys one of these days. It sounds like a lot of fun to just like go out and you have this wonderful excuse to meet people.
Yeah, you get to volunteer at the gate where people are driving in, and you kind of have a random sampler for when you go up to people and say, "Hey, we need you to fill out the survey," or usually we're asking people to fill out the survey, but the random number generator didn't say to get the survey from you, but thanks so much. and then you can kind of stay at the lounge and talk about the stats with people, and It's a bunch of really nerdy data enthusiasts, and they actually do like legitimate research. Like they take it very seriously in how they conduct and how they get their data so that they can statistically extrapolate it correctly and say, okay, we talked to this many people, so therefore we're fairly confident that this is representative of the full population that shows up, and then they track that year over year, which is great.
Yeah. All right, I think we were supposed to limit ourselves to half an hour here, and
it was my fumbling to remember what I wanted to say that added a couple extra seconds to our time limit here. But yeah,
all right. Well, thank you for listening, everyone. This has been Stever Robbins,
and I'm Evan Schulman,
and this is Burning Man According to Us, and we want to see you on the virtual playa at. What's the URL?
Let me load it up. The URL is virtualburn.burningman.org/booth. And that will get you to see all the possible worlds that you can enter. And yeah, pick one or let us know which one you're going to jump into, and we'll try and see you there.
Yeah, I'm totally going to be on BRC VR, which is the Oculus one. In fact, I bought an Oculus I will say that I bought an Oculus just to do this. That's not really why I bought it, but I had forgot. I didn't realize when I bought it that there would be virtual. So I will be around on BRC VR, and I will definitely be in Build-A-Burn a whole bunch. And I'm even thinking, I wonder how I can get something added to Build-A-Burn at this late date.
There has to be a way. This is Burn Week. If we jump in, we'll find someone to talk to and say, hey, how do we do this? Either Build-A-Burn or Sparkleverse or something. And yeah, we can play with that.
Yeah. All right. Be well. And let's have a fabulous burn, everyone.
See you.